What's up, Spring Hill? I am Pastor Brad Mullen, Spring Hill's pastor, and y'all like, God, he start off lying. No, pastor is enjoying a little vacay, much needed vacay, and you know, we told him we got it. We got it. Yeah, clap your hands in this place. I'm a worship leader, so I'm going to make you clap a lot. Gotta help me out. No, but I'm here. I got a little something to share with you. So just bear with me, okay? You know, I ain't into titles and all that stuff, but I love Jesus, and I got something to say. Okay? Just a little bit about me. I was done with church. Done. I was done. And I came into this church and I sat in the back corner for 4 months. And those two, along with Reggie and Rhonda Carson, just, they wouldn't let us go. I never, ever, ever forget that. You know, we ask, you know, Jesus to do stuff and Lord, touch him, Jesus, do this. But you got to be obedient because Jesus got to do it through you. You got to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And I thank God every day that they're obedient. Then let us go. Then let us go. And we've been here. And my wife and I, my lovely wife of 17 years. I drank something on that. 17 years. I've known her for 21, and you know, she's been begging me to go with ever since. Soon as she met me. Y'all know I'm lying, right? Oh, she couldn't stand me. She couldn't stand me. I, she was extra smart and I wasn't all that into my books and she, I was too loud and she was always kind of, you know, reserved and, you know, I love Jesus and she was just kind of like, well, I go to church. I like Jesus, but you need to calm down. So, no, it's been fun. So I'm thankful. I'm not going to take a lot of your time, but I do have to share something that's on my heart. And I love this message that Pastor has us, this series that Pastor has us in right now, because it's putting us in our place. He's doing it nicely. Okay. And that's the thing I've been thinking about all week. And I'm thinking, Lord, I hope I can be nice like Pastor, but I might not. Okay. I want to be nice. Okay, but I got a little bit of coach in me. I got a little bit of passion, you know, and I'm passionate about what I'm going to speak about. So I can't halfway do it, y'all. I told the worship team, I said, I can't be but one way. I mean, I can be other ways, but it's not really true to who I am. So I might get a little loud, but it's okay. Okay, I love you. That's my disclaimer. I love you anyway. Love God, love people. If you love God, then you have to love people, right? Okay, right. But then that love is shown, has to be displayed. You know, a lot of times we say stuff, but we don't have the actions to follow behind it. And we got to follow behind it with actions. I love what Pastor has been talking about with the Great Commandment. And yes, last week we talked about the mind shift. We got to change our minds to this thing of reaching people. It's amazing. Sometimes we get so focused on ourselves that we forget about other people. And if you look at the life of Jesus, everything that he did was for us, for someone else in mind, for us. And he paid the greatest price for us. And we're thankful for that. But we got to have a mindset. Okay? We talked about being results oriented, and it's okay to have a winning attitude when it comes. I'm competitive, man. I'm competitive. I want to reach people for Jesus. Do you? I want to reach people, man. These empty seats bother me. Seriously, they bother me. I'm like, man, we got to do something about this. We got to do something about it, okay? So it's okay. We're results-oriented. Have a winning attitude towards this. We also understood that it's going to cost us something, right? But it's also going to reward us with something. Eternal rewards. We've talked about that. We talked about that in men's class, where that greatest reward is God's reward. That highest reward is eternal, okay? We looked at, the week before, looked at Luke chapter 15, where the Lord took three parables to talk about the same subject. It's awesome. That's awesome. But I want to shed a little different light on that. When you think about the lost sheep and the lost coin and the son that went off. And I want to give you a different perspective on this. The lost sheep represents preoccupied people. I don't think that the sheep woke up that morning and said, hey, you know what, I'm gonna get lost today. I'm gonna get lost, you know, I'm just gonna walk off and wait for my shepherd and get lost. But no, life, bills, children, running over here, running over there, distracted, preoccupied. Things that are important, things that we have to do, okay? But we get preoccupied, okay? We got to look at it from a different perspective. The coin represents people that have been mishandled in church. People that's been, you know, one generation didn't handle the generation behind them in the proper way. You know what I mean? It's such a great call. You know, we call Tata up here, but it's such a great call that we do, the church, do our jobs to make sure that the generation behind us can fall into place. A lot of times we're too focused on ourselves that we forget there's people coming behind us. Yeah. Church hurt falls in this category. You know, people that's been mishandled. I love Pastor. Pastor's always conscious of the people. The people. Always. You know, in the leadership meetings and leadership team, we'll say stuff and he'll have to redirect this and say, no. Think about what this is gonna do for the people. And that's highly important. You know, I grew up in a situation where I told you in the beginning I was done with church because I was mishandled. The generation before me, as far as church is concerned, my parents were great, but the church, they mishandled us. They left us out there. And what they did, they taught us how to do church, but they didn't teach us relationship with Jesus. See, we learn how to do everything. We know the methods. Learn how to shout and get a quickening. Oh, thank you to God. You got to put a T on in that God. We learn how to do all that. But I was an adult when I figured out, oh, this is a relationship. This is a relationship that I walk in. Okay? We can't just do church. And then teach them how to have that relationship for themselves. People try to hang on to parents' coattails and other preachers' coattails and all this stuff. That's why, man, Pastor Brad has done so much for me. Just teaching us, look, you be your own. You do what you do. You don't have to. The greatest advice he gave, he said, Mel, be yourself. Be yourself. Be who you are. All right. Hands off. Do what you do. You know, and that's what we need to do to the generation behind us. We need to let them be who they are. Teach them their relationship with Jesus and then back off. Because Jesus can do it better than us anyway. And if they have relationship, then they're going to communicate. They're going to talk. Their prayer life is going to be there. How they interact with people is going to be centered around their relationship with Jesus. We cannot manufacture that ourselves. We have to let Jesus do the work in them. So teach them relationship. But that falls in the category of this coin. That coin didn't lose itself. The woman lost the coin. And we have to be mindful that we don't lose people around us. The son, now we jump on the son all the time. Oh, he should have known better. Oh, he should have did this. Oh, he should have, you know, and we do that to people too. They should have known better. They should have done this. And they know better than that. They wasn't raised like that. But, sometimes people just miscalculate. The son thought he could live life without the father. I've been there. I thought I could do it without the Lord. And I'm figuring out, why am I struggling? Because you don't have a relationship. Why is this so hard? Because you ain't in the right place. Because you thought you could do it on your own. You know, especially for a man, around that age of, you know, you're getting out of college or, you know, around 18 to 22 to 25, man, you can't nobody tell you nothing. And I don't know exactly how old his son was, but I bet he was in that category where, you know, I can do this by myself. Yeah. Yeah, he probably knows better. But from our perspective, as people that are trying to win people for Jesus, we have to recognize that and take it another way. We can't point the finger and say, oh, you should have known better, and turn our backs and walk away. We got to stay in the fight. We got to guide them. We got to lead them. We got to get them through. Amen? We shouldn't be afraid, ignore, or criticize people that fall in any of these categories. We got to get down there with them. The preoccupied, the people that are mishandled, the people that miscalculated. Hey, it's our job. That's what we're called to do, is to reach these people. Reach them. Somebody reached us somehow, some way. So we can't just sit back on our laurels and get all the Jesus that we're going to get and just be stubborn and hoard it up and don't share it. We have to. We got to do it. Can't be afraid of them. Or slap the demonic label on them. Oh, that's just demonic. Pow. Everything the devil. The devil's busy. Yeah, but he's also defeated. You need to recognize that. You need to walk in that. Yeah, he's busy, but he's defeated. Amen. I'm an amen myself. There's no difference. If anybody should know what it's like to have a relationship with Jesus, it should be us. If anybody should know what it's like to have life without Jesus, it should be us. We should know that. We should recognize that more than anybody else. And to whom much grace is given, much grace should be bestowed. You know, we get too insider focused, inside here and inside these walls. We get too insider focused, and we forget about that there's a lost and dying world, and there's people that are just living life and they're just going through things, but they have no clue of who Jesus is. Now, my generation was probably the last generation that had a little bit of church in them. Okay? Seriously. There's a generation that, you know, my wife and our teachers that we teach now, that, man, look, their parents never took them to church. Never did. So they are really, we're living in a time where there's people that don't have a clue. How they gonna find out, y'all? And what we say is, come on in here with us and be like us. Come on. From the door, though, you remember back in the day when you was kind of scared to go outside, you just kind of peep out the door. Come on over and be like us. Instead of getting out amongst them. Get out amongst them. Hey, leave these four walls and get out and do something. Reach people for Jesus. It's not a suggestion. It's an instruction. It's an instruction. Getting ahead of myself. Karis, I'm sorry. I'm way, way past what I'm supposed to be saying. Okay. These people could be, and I hate saying these people, but I have to help you recognize. People could be unchurched, overchurched, or people just living without purpose. They're just regular people that need to be redirected to Jesus. That's why I say don't slap the mnemonic. Don't be so quick to use that. Okay, just people living life, going through things. But we have to show them the way. We have to understand that people become preoccupied, careless, miscalculated. But we, more importantly, we have to seek them out and show them Jesus. Notice I said seek them out. Seek them out. Some of the most saved, sanctified folks I work with, I don't even deal with. Because they mean, and they hide from, and they scared of people. As soon as somebody say something that's, you know, out of pocket, we don't agree with, oh, fly away, run away somewhere, go hide in my office. Come on now. Come on now. The spirits ain't going to jump off of you, off of them onto you. Come on now. Jesus is stronger than that and bigger than that. Don't be afraid of people. Don't be afraid of people. I'm just frowned up. I just frowned up. That's what McGee's do. We frown up sometimes. I'm not mad. So, we as a church, we have to advertise. And it has to be more than one commercial. We got to put it out there. Who we are, what we do. And the main thing we have, you have everything that you need. If you are saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, you got everything you need. Be yourself and tell people about Jesus. It's simple. It's simple. You don't have to be Pastor Brad. You don't have to be me. You ain't got to be Dwayne. You ain't got to be Jonathan. Just be you. Be you. Amen. We have to understand that God is obsessed with the lost. So we have to be sociologists, Christians. We have to be in the people business. And knowing 5,000 scriptures and being a spiritual hot rod ain't what you called to be. See, I'm sorry. No, you got to be in the people. You got to reach people, man. You got to go after people. You really do. In 2012, Pastor changed the direction of the church. And we took off our suit and ties and all that stuff. And we were going to be a church that's going to reach regular people. And I was like, bingo, you got me. I'm in. You know, all the spiritual whys and wherefores, yeah, you need that, but you need that to reach people. Not for you to, you know, I know everything about the Bible. I know everything about God. Okay? No, we need to use that stuff to reach people. There are people out there that don't recognize Jesus and aren't living for him, and we need to figure out why. There's people in the world who don't know anything about Jesus. And we sit here and come to church every week. And we're going to let them just die off. We're going to let them just be ignorant. We're going to let them just let them be. No. We need to figure out why. We need to dig deep. We need to find it. If anyone should know what it's like to live without Jesus, it's us. Anybody that's saved and that's a Christian, you know what your life was like before you became a Christian. So you ought to want to share that with everybody else. Amen. John 3:16, you all know it. For God so loved the world. Okay. We need to so love the world too. By sowing love. See what I did there? We need to so love the world too. By sowing love. And what pastors have been talking about is teaching us to change our mindset about love. We can love things that's comfortable. We can love things that's going to love us back. But what about people? And if you love God, then you love people. Amen? I'm keep moving on. Y'all getting quiet on me. You need to be effective in the world. Be effective. Be effective. We have to see, people have to see something different in us. Okay? And the only way they can see it, we have to be where they are. We have to be where they are. We can't sit behind closed doors and, oh God, it's my four no more. I'm gonna sit over here, Lord. I'm just waiting not to, just Lord, I'm just waiting not to sin. Just I don't want to sin no more, Lord. I don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. Jesus, please don't let me sin. And we hide and we're scared. We're scared. That's not what Christianity is about. It's not what it's about. We have to get out there among the people and live. The Bible tells us to be salt and light, right? So we got to get out there and do it. Now, the Bible tells us that we're in the world, but not of the world. Okay? We're in the world, but not of it. But too often, the church has become of the world, but not in it. I said, Mel, I ain't sinning. Yeah, but think about what Jesus was talking about in the Gospels. Gossip, slander, envy, greed, jealousy, lust, guile, malice, bitterness, chauvinism, sexism, racism, hardness of heart, abuse, offense. And the ringleaders of that sometimes is the church. We of the world, but we're not in it. We're not in it. We got to get there. Some may say, oh, we shouldn't be blending in. You know, we're different. Yes, we are different. But how are they going to see the difference? See, the Bible says that we're salt and light. And when we understand that we are light, then anything that light comes in contact with, it changes into light. Light overtakes darkness. It does. Salt gives it flavor. You gotta get some swag about you. Can I use that word? Is that okay? You gotta use some swag about you, man. You know, I like looking good. I don't want to be like, oh, the only thing I do is wear beige and I don't wear no lipstick and my hair ain't curled and I ain't got no makeup and I don't do nothing else and I better not say nothing too loud. I'm just going to be meek like Jesus. Come on, man, it's 2017. Come on now. With salt, a lot of times what we do, and I used this with the worship team the other day, is that what we do is, you know, salt needs to be sprinkled throughout. Okay? You ever put too much salt on something? My Aunt Faye is a cooker extraordinaire. You ever put too much salt on something? It don't taste good, does it? But that's what we do. We take all the salt and pour it all in one spot. And all the salty people over here in one spot. Salt. Too much salt. It's unpalatable. Can't eat stuff with too much salt on it. It's nasty. But I'll sprinkle a little bit over here, my basketball team, and I'll sprinkle a little bit over here, my women's group, and I'll sprinkle a little bit over here where I'm supposed to be with these guys, and I'll sprinkle a little bit over here. The perfect amount of salt, oh, it's good. It's good. So good. And that's what we need to be. Okay? Don't sprinkle salt on something that don't need it. It'd be too much. But there are people that need your salt. People that need your light. Amen. Salt and light. Karis, I'm skipping around. I'm sorry. Moving on. Okay. We're agents of change. Agents of change. Salt and light. Agents of change. It doesn't mean that we run from it. And it doesn't mean that we, you know, we have to be afraid and scared. Get out among them. Get out among them. Get out among the people. Be who Jesus called you to be. And you might say, man, I can't do that. I can't do that. I'm scared of that. I can't do that. I'll tell you something. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit, love of God has been shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit. Love is in you. It's in you. You don't have to manufacture it. You don't have to make it. You just got to get over yourself. Really. You got to get over yourself. Get out there among them. Okay? No matter what your background is, your education, your spiritual maturity, you all have the ability to love. Got the ability to love. Pull up Romans 5:5 so they won't think I'm lying. What does it say? Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Okay? The benefits of being a Christian and having the Holy Spirit is not for you to be a spiritual hot rod. Okay? But for you to hoard up and keep to yourself. Okay? It's for you to shed it. Shed love. Ask the Lord, teach me how to love. Teach me. Teach me how to love. Teach me what to do. Show me how to be a light in a dark place. Show me how to be salt in my workplace. Show me. I love my wife. My wife, I started teaching way before, in the county, way before she did. And she took a little time off, and now she's back in the county. Now, I'm Coach McGee. I travel around, and, you know, most everybody know me. But in the last 3 years, I have become Miss McGee's husband. I've been coaching 18 years, and she's been back for 3 years. You know, and people say, oh, man. So when I meet people from her school, they're like, oh, my God, I know your wife. You know, people are really excited when they sing it out like that. I know your wife. Oh, my God. So because she's infectious, man. I mean, salt. You talking about salt and light? You know, and she ain't walking around quoting scriptures all the time either. And I seen her bad days. And I seen when the kids are making us late. And I seen her, you know, about to walk out the door and spill coffee and go have to change clothes. But it never changes. Nobody's ever said, oh, I can't stand her. You know, she's kind of, you know, I don't know, never. They look at me like, ooh. They're like, oh, my God, Miss McGee. This is who she is. Salt and light. Salt and light. My point is, she is showing Jesus and not walking around just talking about Jesus. You got to show people Jesus. The question is, what are you passionate about? What are you passionate about? I know that pastor is passionate about people. I know this church is passionate about people. We're not passionate about what we don't do. You know, Christians have become, you know, we get a little bit of what I don't drink, I don't cuss, I don't smoke, I don't. You so focused on what you don't do that you don't even know what you're supposed to be doing. I'm going to get back over here. Don't define Christianity by what you don't do. Christian life is about you being who Jesus called you to be. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. The don't do's. Man, we need to get rid of that. I do that. I ain't just talking to y'all. I'm talking to myself. I had to minister this to me before I can minister to y'all. You know, get caught up in, you know, you get high and mighty. Well, at least I ain't over there doing that. Question is, why are they doing that? And why am I not showing them a better way? That's the question. You know, so-and-so over there, he smoked out. He always this. He always that. Have you gone over there? Have you shown him a better way? Have you done what you're supposed to do? So focused on what we don't do, and we forget about what we're supposed to do. The Christian life is not about you hiding and being so scared that you're going to sin. It's not what it's about. Not what it's about. It's about us reaching people. We always saying, give myself away. Give myself away so you can use me. Okay, Mel, I need you to go over there. Not that way, Lord. Start changing up the words. Oh, I just need you to do that. Hey, give that guy $5. Lord, I was going to use that for lunch. Do it. Do it. I'm trying to teach us something in that. Be obedient. If we say we love God, then we love people. Okay? Can't be too insider focused, and we got to be intentional. Intentional. John chapter 4, Jesus said, okay, guys, look, we're going to go down here, but first, I got to take a little detour over here. There's a woman I need to talk to. You guys know the story. Could have went straight. I could have went from here to here, point A to point B, but Jesus said, I got to be intentional. Somebody over here needs something from me. But we want to be like Jesus, but we got to really be like Jesus. Be intentional. Do it on purpose. You know, everything that we do in Spring Hill Church is designed to reach people. From the moment that you step out of your car. It's intentional. And I love Pastor because a lot of people want to skip the details and think, hey, you know, that don't matter. People that's going to come to church. Yes, it does matter. Everything matters. We want to meet them from the, they want their experience to begin when they get out the car into the parking lot till they go back to their cars. It's on purpose. The music that we do, I can speak on that. It's on purpose. It's on purpose. We want people to have an experience. An experience. It's intentional. What do we want them to do? We want them to see Jesus at every single turn. From the announcements to the preaching, everything. It's intentional. And we have to always change up the method. The message will never change, but we'll always change up the method. And we're not married to anything. You know, we're not locked into, oh, we have to do this. We have to, the one thing that we have to do, we have to share the message of Jesus. Everything else around that, hey, fair game. You see the core values in the back. We mean them. We mean it. Okay? Jesus said, if you follow me, then I will make you fishers of men. If you follow me, then I will make you. That word make means to shape, to mold, and to construct. I have to say this. We might be following something, but if we're not fishers of men, we're not following Jesus. If we're not thinking about people at every turn, if we're not trying to win people for Jesus, we're following something. But it may not be Jesus. We have to just change our mindset. Change our mindset. It has nothing to do with personality types, strengths, love languages. It has nothing to do with that stuff. It has nothing to do with that. We just have to have a mind change that, hey, oh, this is what Jesus is about. This is what God is about. He's obsessed with people. He loves people. And we got to get on that same page. If we love God, and we love people. I told you earlier that the empty seats should bother us. I'm passionate about that. Passionate about it. And Pastor ain't told me to say this. He just said, hey, man, you know, if you want to stay in that vein, that's fine. If you want to talk about something else, that's fine. I said, no, I'm going to stay right there. It should bother us. I ain't talking about get mad about it, but you should go, we got to do something more. We got to do more. You know, this event that we have on the 19th, that's intentional. It's on purpose. And everybody was in agreement. We have to show people where we are, what we do, what we're about. We got to go out among them. We have to get out. We have to get out. So, hey, we put heads together. Hey, and this is what's happening. And pastor was like, all right, do it. Let's get it done. So we're getting it done. So we need all of you to help us out on the 19th. In Jesus' name, amen. We need to understand that not reaching people is not an option. Pastor said it last week, there is no plan B. You're it. Tag, you're it. Sorry. You're it. So let's get on mission. Everybody knows about the Great Commission. Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Go ahead and flip over there real quick. It says, go if you want to. Well, if you have time, then you can go. If you really feel like it, then you can go out. If everything kind of ends up and you find a little time at the end of the week, then you can go. No. No, there's nothing before that G-O right there. It's just go. Go. And I love what it says in the message. Go and train everyone. Everyone you meet. Far and near in this way of life. Marking them by baptism. In threefold name, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, this day, the day after, right into the end of the age. I love that. I love that. Go. Train them up, teach them, but I ain't ordained. Yes, you are. Jesus said go. I think Jesus is enough. Ain't nobody got to come throw something on you for you to go. 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 Do you. The kids say, do you. Hey, do you. Go do you. In Jesus' name. Amen. This is not the great suggestion. It's not. It's a great commission. Are you on mission? You know, I ask my kids, are you running the play? We have designed something for you to do. Are you doing that? If you find yourself doing your own thing, you're going to come sit beside me. Bop. You already know that horn blow. Bop. It's you. Come on. You ain't with us. You're not with us. If you ain't with us, you're against us. No. Jesus is giving us the play. Go. Go. We're on mission. And we're on mission till Jesus returns. There's no hiding, scared, waiting on the rapture. Occupy until I come. Go out. Go find people. If you love me, you love people. Witness. When you're witnessing, it's not a great gifting or calling. It's an instruction. It's an instruction. And you have what you need. You got Jesus on the inside of you, and you got you. Be who you are. Go get it. We are the GPS system to reroute people back to Jesus. Rerouting. Oh, rerouting. Come on back. Oh, no, he's over here. Change. You got to be among them to do it, though. Because if you love God, you love people. We need to live our normal lives on purpose to engage the world around us, to bring change and transformation. Don't overanalyze it. Don't overanalyze it. Don't make it in something that is not. And also don't condemn it. You know, don't look at people in a crazy way. Look at them like Jesus did. My wife loves saying this. And I'm going to steal it for a second. Is that okay? Nobody has ever come in contact with Jesus and stayed the same. Read it. And if he's on the inside of us, if we show people Jesus, they're not going to be the same. That ought to get you excited. Ain't going to be the same. It might take a little while. But he is on the inside of you. On the inside of you. Show people Jesus. Help them get on the right track. We will be amazed. If we get on mission, we'll be amazed how things in our lives will just kind of get into place. If things are out of whack, you need to ask yourself, am I on mission? Am I on mission? I am unapologetically who I am. Do I mess up? Yes. All the time. Every day, ask my wife. Okay? But you can't apologize who you are. I understand that Jesus is on the inside of me. I've accepted him as my Lord and Savior. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. Then I need to use those things to reach people. And don't apologize for it. Don't apologize for it. Be amazed what would happen in our personal lives if we would work to get on mission. You wouldn't be bored. You wouldn't be frustrated. You wouldn't be treading water, going around in circles, trying to figure out. You wouldn't be trying to figure out my life. I'm going to find myself. You already, yourself is right here. Get on mission. Go after what Jesus is telling us to do. If we get on what we're supposed to do, then we wouldn't have time to do what we're not supposed to be doing. You ain't got time for that. You ain't got time. You ain't got to be perfect. You just have to get on with it. Get on with it. Get on with it. I'll show y'all this poem as we go. A man fell into a pit and couldn't get himself out. A subjective person came along and said, I feel for you down in that pit. An objective person came along and said, logically, that someone has fallen down in the pit. A Christian scientist came along and said, you think that you're in a pit. A Pharisee came along and said, only bad people fall in the pit. A news reporter wanted to do an exclusive story on the pit. The fundamentalist said, you deserve your pit. Confucius said, if you had to listen to me, you wouldn't be in the pit. Buddha said, the pit is only a state of mind. A realist said, yep, that's a pit. Scientists calculated the pressure necessary to get him out of the pit. A geologist told him to appreciate the rock strata down in the pit. A tax man asked him if he was paying taxes on the pit. An inspector asked him if he had a permit to dig that pit. An evasive person just avoided the subject of the pit altogether. I don't even want to deal with it. A self-pitying person said, you wait till you see my pit. A charismatic person said, you just confess that you're not in the pit. An optimist said, it could be worse. A pessimist said, things will get worse. Jesus, just reach down. Help them out the pit. If you love God, you love people. Just be like Jesus. Don't try to overanalyze it. Don't try to make it something that is not. Just love people right where they are. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. I count it an honor and a privilege to be able to stand before your people. And Father, hopefully I was able to give them something that they could take and use in their personal lives. But Father, I know without a shadow of a doubt that you love people, and help us to focus on that truth right there. Help us to see people like you do. Help us to love like you do. Help us to get on mission. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I just want to take time to, if there's anyone here today that don't know Jesus and you want to start this relationship, we're glad you're at church, but we ain't about doing church. We're about your relationship. So we want to take time. If you know that you need Jesus this morning, you know that you need to either start a relationship with him or renew your relationship with him. Don't even think about it. Just lift your hand up. Don't even think about it. Just lift your hand up. Amen. 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 Everybody that's in agreement with this, just pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. I believe that you died on the cross for me. I believe that you rose again for me. Father, I accept you into my life. Thank you for washing my past away. And I ask you to be my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Put your hands together. Bless the Lord in this place. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen.